Good morning. It's great to have you on this day, this beautiful day that the Lord has given to us, even if it is raining. All right, let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we are thankful for all of the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, they are rich and beyond our imagination. Lord, the things that we see and the things that we do not see. Father, your intervention and your engagement with our lives is everywhere. And we want to say thank you for that rich, rich mercy. May you open your word to us, Father, as we discover and we seek to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin. We are in the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at renewing our hearts to the Beatitudes. Today we are in verse 7. So if we could have that, the next slide there. There we go. Let's repeat this verse together, all right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. They are the ones who will receive mercy. Everyone admires a person who has a lot of mercy about them, right? Someone who is able to take and come alongside of another person and engage them in an empathetic, merciful way. There's something about doing that that awakens something deep within us, and I think it is rooted in the very image of God within us. Yesterday we celebrated the life and the legacy of one such person, Nancy Eyde. Nancy was a person who was filled with mercy, amen? Mercy for others. Even while she had cancer, she willingly entered into the lives and the stories and the messes of other people without judgment or shame, regardless of their circumstances. She understood the mess of life, for she had experienced much mess in her own life, and she willingly helped if and when she could. And when you were willing to move through that mess, she was willing to walk with you. And she did it all with the strength that it can only be birthed in hope and humility. That was Nancy's legacy. That was how we experienced her. She didn't get it, though. She didn't get and understand really why we admired her so much. In her own words, she shared with me at the hospice, she said, "I don't know why everyone looks up to me. I can be a sassy and a rebellious woman," to which I say, yeah, you could. But she said this. She says, "I'm simply giving to others what God has given to me. He has shown me grace. I show other people grace. He has shown me mercy. I show other people mercy." That was her legacy, and it continues. But she discovered along the journey and the pathway of her life, she discovered this one core truth that I think is wrapped up in what I'm going to share today. And that is, God is mercy. God doesn't just do merciful things. God himself is mercy. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Mercy originates within his nature. He is the headwaters of mercy. Without his nature, there would be no mercy, is what Paul is trying to communicate to us. He is the source of all mercy. So when you see someone who is merciful, you think, that's a picture of what God is like. Mercy started with God. If there was no God, there's no mercy. But because there is mercy, Paul says, that came out of the very nature of God. and His mercy is incomprehensible. In Psalm 86:5, it says, "For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy." If you need it, He's got it in abundance to all who call upon You. What He's saying is that God is merciful to anyone and everyone who is willing to call upon Him. I love this next one. Psalm 59:16. "I will sing of Your power," and His idea there is that His power is majestic. It's majestic. "I will sing of Your power, but I will sing aloud. I will shout loudly. I will yell," almost the idea in the Hebrew is almost in a shrill way. "I will sing aloud of Your mercy in the morning." Sorry to all the morning people. All right. But what He is saying is this: awaken to this reality. Awaken to the reality that God is mercy, and because of that, He is merciful, and because of that, He gives us mercy in abundance. Or as Paul says, He is rich in mercy. His power without mercy destroys us. But His power, pressed through His mercy, redeems us. That's the idea. Now, what is mercy? Is it having pity upon someone? No. That is maybe a part of what it is. But it's far bigger than that. Mercy means that I understand your difficulties, I understand your afflictions, and I want to enter into your afflictions with you. You see how this relates back to Nancy? I enter into your afflictions with you in a way that is redemptive for you. Huge, huge concept. His mercy moves Him, moves God toward us with this fierce determination. This fierce determination says, "I'm going to enter into the mess, the brokenness, the pain, the difficulty of your story, of your life. I am willing," He said, "to enter into your life in all of its glory and in all of its pain." He has a fierce determination and says, "I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do this." One person has said that mercy is like getting into someone else's skin. Not getting under their skin. We tend to excel at that, at least I do. But getting into someone else's skin, understanding the way they think, feeling the way they feel, seeing what they see. That's the essence of mercy, is getting into someone's skin. And God got into our skin, right? We call it the incarnation. That was mercy. God enters into the mess, the brokenness, the sinfulness, the ugliness of our story, of our journey. And because He got into our skin, He understands it. He understands the mess that we have made of ourselves. He gets it. And this is the writer of Hebrews' point in Hebrews 4. If we do not have a high priest is someone who comes between you and God and intercedes to God on your behalf. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. He got into our skin. He understands the way we think. He feels the way we feel. He gets it. He gets it. He sees. He understands how we see. He knows what it's like to watch a loved one die. He knows what it's like to want out. He knows what it's like to throw in the towel. He knows what it's like to be worn out. God gets us. Because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. His point is this. He didn't cave in to the pressures of the brokenness of our lives. He didn't cave in. He didn't collapse under the weight of cynicism or apathy, although he could have. But he did it without sin. Therefore, with this understanding, he goes on and says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, with abandon, without reservation, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us right here, right now, in our time of need. See, God not only enters into our story, God not only understands our story, but God engages us within our story, within the mess of our lives, giving to us the exact thing that we need when we call upon Him. He says, I understand where you are. And because He understands, He said, I know exactly what you lack and exactly what you need from me to keep going, to be able to not just sit in this pool of self-pity, of doubt, of worry, of anything like that. He says, I don't want you just to sit there. Instead, he says, I will give you exactly what you need, because I understand what you need, and I'm going to give you what you need to move through this to the other side. He says, not only that, because I'm merciful, I will walk with you, calling you, giving you what you need, calling you to do what you are responsible to do. You understand? See what he's saying? Yes, Martin, I do. That's helpful. This is mercy. Now, however, mercy that we receive, it doesn't stop there. If it does, something within us dies. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who choose to show mercy to others, for they shall receive mercy. See, in the same way that God has shepherded our hearts, we shepherd the hearts and the lives of others with mercy. For Jesus said with great clarity in Luke 6, be merciful just as your papa, just as your daddy, just as your father. Let's pause right there. That's an identity statement. Just as your daddy has shown you mercy. That's his point. We are not reservoirs of God's mercy. We are distributors of God's mercy. That's his intention. Be merciful to others, to those who are around you, to those who cross your paths. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. The mercy he gave to us, first and foremost through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then throughout the rest of our lives as we have sought to walk with him, is now resident within us with all of its inclinations, with all of its transformational power. It now resides within us. That which our Father has given to us, has shown to us, he has also given to us through these inclinations. And as we lean into this, these inclinations begin to rewrite the story, the character of our lives, of our hearts. This is why Jesus says, you have received an powerful, powerful gift from God. You've received it in that He has shown it to you. He has given it to you, but He is also placed within you by virtue of the gospel of Christ, by virtue of being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, by virtue of being adopted as His sons and daughters. He has given to you this inclination so that you can begin to want to, desire to, be inclined to show mercy to others just as He has shown it to you. My fierce desire, folks, is not that you would just hear what I'm saying, but my fierce desire is not that you would just listen politely. My desire is this, that we would begin to wrestle with how do we take this statement, be merciful as your Father has been merciful to you, and begin to integrate that into the complexities, the choices of our lives, so that we begin to walk out with this desire that says, you know what, how might I show mercy? Because there's something that is awakening within me that says, wow, I'm interested. I'm interested. How might I begin to take these steps? So I want to ask you this question. I want to give us a chance to engage with this a little bit. But the question is this. As we engage others, what might it look like to be merciful to other people, to be inclined and then act upon that inclination, to be merciful to others just as our Father has been merciful to us? Okay? So as you hear this and lean into this, what might it look like to show mercy to someone else? And Brian's got a mic, so because we want everyone to hear. So who wants to go first?
I would think it would be forgiveness.
Forgiveness, yes. Amen, brother. Amen. Forgiveness. Being able to say, you know what, I'm not going to call down God's justice upon you.
I've got a very practical one that people will hate me for saying this. When I am driving out on the freeway on the 167 and someone is obviously in a huge hurry, pull over and let them pass. Be nice to them. Be kind to people. Give them mercy on the freeway.
You crossed the line.
Sorry.
So you just, okay. Who else?
I think when we don't receive mercy from others, we feel perhaps under bondage, and you can be set free by the mercy from someone else and be able to move on.
Amen. And we're going to deal with that very issue in a few moments.
I have two things. One is giving yourself mercy over things that you need to forgive yourself for and letting go of that. But the other thing is, I know something that is a big issue in my family right now is my brother-in-law is getting very serious with a very nice Jewish girl. And with a Jewish girl.
Okay.
And that is pretty much tearing my mother-in-law apart. I think that for someone like her and myself, of course, too, likes to control the situation, wants to fix the situation, wants to stop people from making the mistake you see them making. I want her to understand, and I want me to understand, and anybody in a similar situation to understand that if you want to bring someone to Christ, when I wasn't a Christian, when I was opposed to Christianity, showing the love and the mercy of Christ, if Christ was just perfect and looking down on everyone and telling us all we were sinners, I don't think we'd be drawn to him. We're drawn to him because of the mercy, because of the forgiveness. And if we want to bring other people to Christ, that's what broke me through that wall of being opposed to Christianity versus seeing that as something that I wanted to have in my life and emulate, was the mercy, the forgiveness. That is what brings people's hearts to Jesus, I think, more than just the, you know, God is good. Well, yes, he's good, but if he's good, but he's not merciful, you know, if he's good, but he's not forgiving, that's what we have to show, because that's what will bring their hearts to him, I think, more than anything else.
I could not have said it better. Thank you, Jesse. Someone has asked the question, how can you be merciful while keeping proper, safe boundaries? Real quickly, the answer to that question is we've got mercy requires us to keep safe boundaries, proper boundaries. Because if we do not, we quickly begin to live beyond our capacities. We take responsibility to do for others what either they can or should do for themselves, or what we can't do for them. Okay. If we take on the responsibility of, someone told me this last week, I had to get a shirt that has a big S on it that says Savior, because sometimes I get a Savior complex. You know, when I get really bitter is when I've got my Savior complex. I'm wearing the S. Because all of a sudden I realize I don't have that much power. See, mercy is about doing for them what you have the capacity to do and what they don't have the capacity to do. But it's also about calling them forward to do what they are responsible to do. It's like the blind man in John 9. God, Jesus heals him and says, go wash. You know, deal with this. You've got a role in this. So there is this sort of that tension. But we've got to learn, if we're going to have mercy and have that reservoir of mercy that we can distribute to others, we must be willing to live within proper limits. The limits, understanding our own capacity, what we can or cannot do. The second is understanding what they need, what we can provide that they need, but also what they must do for themselves. Okay? That makes sense? Okay. Who else? Other thoughts? Yes, right back there, Steve.
I find it interesting that your question says, as we engage others, and for me that strikes home because I really had to learn how to be merciful with my kids and my wife and them with me. And it's an intricate part of being a Christ-centered family. And unfortunately, I wasn't that way early on in my Christian walk, but it's got to be strong in the family.
Amen. Amen. Because we create the narrative for our children in terms of what they understand it to be.
Yeah, in that note, the mercy, I'm not able to conceive mercy unless I empty myself of Christ's mercy. And it's always a never ending till the day I die, that can I ever be acceptable or to the point where mercy can be administered to people who are lost. And if I'm not administering to people that are lost, then I'm a gong that makes no noise. You know, there's no love. There's all the other attributes in Matthew chapter 5 that mercy, I have to empty myself before I can actually have mercy to those who are gone, who are going to burn in hell. So I've got to give them that mercy.
Yes. We've got to be filled with it. It's in that the message of Philippians 2, where it says, that which you have received from Christ, so you begin, you take on that same attitude, that same heart, and you begin to, and you can just follow that progression from verse 5 through verse 12. So, someone asked the question, how do I show mercy and teach mercy to greedy, needy people? You know, I don't really have a good answer for that one. I really think that there's not any one answer that can fit all of those circumstances. Because there are people who are greedy, needy, entitled. And I want to go back and say, you know, I think that that's worthy of sitting back and reading through the Gospels again and again and again and asking the question, how did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do it? Because I don't know that we tried. Kim and I have had orphaned a person living in our house. We've had a person who was single and just had no money living in our house. We've had a drug addict and an alcoholic living in our house who stole from us both prescription medications and things like that. And so I don't really know how to answer that question, you know, because there's always a sense of betrayal, especially in that last example. But I think it comes back to this, and that is, it's a willingness. A merciful person cannot fix everyone's situation, but a merciful person has the inclinations to step back and to say, I do want to engage you in a healthy way, in a way that represents the heart of God. And how do we find that heart? Most explicitly, by reading the Gospels again and again and again, and going to it with that question in mind. How did Jesus show mercy to greedy, needy individuals? Well, sometimes he's pretty direct with them, right? Very direct with them. But he had a way of being able to see their heart and call out that heart when it was greedy and belligerent, entitled. He had no problem calling it out. But he's also able to sense when a heart was definitely sincere and saying, you know what? I really do need mercy. I don't want an entitlement. I want mercy. So step back and begin to understand the person's story. And then begin to look within your own self and say, Lord, how can I identify with this story? How can I begin to identify with this story? And begin to understand. And then begin to say, how might I engage in this person's story and circumstances? And I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I think it's starting with a merciful heart and saying, how might I move in this direction? And Lord, I'm going to trust you to show me each step of the way. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? And I know it would be nice to be able to have a single one-size-fits-all principle that does this, but I don't know what it is other than what I just shared you. So I wish I did. I wish it were all neat and clean. But it isn't. It isn't. But I think it's being inclined to enter into the mess of another person. It's willing to understand. It's inclined to understand the mess of his or her story. And it's being inclined to engage in another person's mess. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, we've talked about that, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can then comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Okay? So that's that understanding. That's that willingness to say, God, what have you given to me that I can give to this person? and then living within those limits. Because none of us should have a shirt that has an S on it, right? So don't give me one for my birthday. I'm trying to get rid of them all. But we are a river. We are not a reservoir. We bring to the table what God has given to us. And then we join them in that. But I think that what has been shared here this morning through some of what you all shared is important. And just understand this. Our world around us, your neighbors, your children, need you to be willing to understand, to be willing to engage in their lives, to seek to understand their lives, and then to engage in it in whatever way is appropriate. They need that a whole lot more than they need their words. They need our words, but after it follows the sense that they have, this person cares about me. Brian, were you going to share something? Okay. You had the mic to your mouth. But be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Ask yourself that question, God, how have you shown me mercy that I might begin to go and live it out in the complexities of this life? But Martin, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel merciful. I don't really care about mercy. There are many things that derail and sabotage these inclinations that God has placed within us. Okay, there are things that smother it. What might be some of those things that derail or smother these inclinations and just kind of turn our hearts away or cause our hearts to deaden? Jimmy D.
I have found that a good way to start with mercy is not be judgmental of the individual.
Really?
Because being judgmental sets you up for not mercy, but for judgment.
I like to be judgmental. You know why?
So we're going to get you a shirt with a J?
Yeah. And a robe. Because, see, judgment says, you know what, I put myself above you. And not only do I put myself above you, but I put myself there because I feel like I'm better than you. And when I'm better than you, then I can look at you with cynicism and criticism and shame and contempt. It empowers all of the ugliness that's on the dark side of my own soul. There is a healthy form of judgment, but that's not it. What else might create?
Well, you've kind of touched on a little bit, but I think our own motivations, I'm going to fix you. I'm your answer. I'm your savior. I think our expectations, if I do this for you, then you will da-da-da-da-da-da. And I think that sabotages us because then we're coming from what we sense is right for that person. And the reality is we have no idea. Only God knows what that person needs. So our own motivations, our expectations, our judgment, we think we know what's best for them rather than just being willing to come alongside to enter into their story without the judgment, without the expectations, and say, Lord, what do you want to do? How can I show mercy to this person who, in my estimation, doesn't deserve it? But I didn't deserve it either when God showed it to me. So who am I to judge this person worthy or not of mercy?
Yeah. And never try to enter, and I'm do as I say, not as I do, never try to enter in another person's life with a desire to fix them. Okay, do as I say, not as I do. Okay? Because it will turn you very, very cynical. So you don't have the power to do that.
Yeah, I think, too, one of the things is I think when it comes to in our own families, like what Steve was talking about, I think when we have the wrong perspective, like I'm home now, I don't have to be merciful. You know, I'm home now. I don't have to be a servant. I'm home now. Like, I get to do, like, it's my kingdom now because I do that for others, but not for my own family.
I'm off the clock now, huh? Yeah. See, that's not the nature of God within us. That's the nature of religion that is within us.
Hey, don't talk about me that way.
I'm tired of talking about myself, right? One other thought, right back there, Sebastian.
Pride in general.
Pride.
That's one of the biggest roadblocks. But also the way that we view mercy, we view it as an obligation instead of an opportunity. I think that once we start to view mercy as an opportunity, we have an opportunity to show someone mercy today.
We need the mercy ourselves, and just having that kind of a viewpoint that it's a chance to show someone else mercy that really helps to bring us into that, the appropriate frame of heart.
Yes, and that's why I want to really emphasize these divine inclinations that are implanted within us by the Spirit, according to 2 Peter 1. These divine inclinations that say, you know what, I'm not going to just call you to obey. I'm going to write what I want you to do upon the tablet of your heart. In other words, I'm going to change your character. I'm going to change you from a person who is inclined not to do it, or if you're a good religious person, to do it out of a sense of obligation because the pastor told you to. That never works. To someone who says, I want to do this, and I'm going to lean into this as difficult and as complex as it might be because of what God has shown me. But there are many things that smother apathetic hearts. That's the in the modified version of the country song, My Give a Darn is Busted. You know, it says, yes, I really don't care. Reluctant heart says, I will if I have to, but I don't want to. What's in this for me? God doesn't want that kind of mercy. That's not mercy. Cynical heart says, God, why should I show them mercy? No one is seeking to show me mercy. Why should I? I'm not getting it, so I'm not going to give it. All of those are toxic, and they're contagious. They're toxic to you, and they rot us from the inside out. But they're contagious to those who are around you, especially like your families. It writes a bad narrative in terms of how to engage others. So, and there are many other things. But here's the bottom line. Jesus said, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Or, blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who will receive mercy. Now, who are they going to get mercy from? Well, certainly from God. But also, you create a legacy of mercy. Of people who say, I never received from anyone what I've got from you. Like Jesse. All I've got in my background in relationship to Christians is judgment and cynicism and blah, blah, blah. Ugly stuff. Toxic stuff. But I got something from this person that awakened something within me and says, tell me more about your God. And as you live in mercy towards others, being filled and aware of what God has given to you, pretty soon your legacy, your impact, the outcome of your life, the fragrance of your life just spreads to where you have a legacy of people like Nancy Eyde and Helen Aish, Art Nissen, Robert Lee. People like that who say, wow, this person made a difference. And it wasn't so much in what they said, although that was important, but it was in what they, how they lived and who they were. You see what I'm saying? So I want to end with this question. Who might you show mercy to? And if you're at college level capabilities, choose someone difficult. Okay? Stretch yourself. Say, God, how can I take and distribute that which you've given to me? If you're at kindergarten level and this is new to you, say, who might I show this to? Someone who's easy. And just begin to live this out. Because Jesus doesn't give this to those who are not interested in following him. He gives it to those who are interested in being renewed by him. Those who are interested in being passionate followers of Jesus, of him. That's what I'm all about. Blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who receive mercy. You give them a taste of kingdom life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you've shown to us. Lord, may it begin to live out in greater and greater degrees so that, Lord, people would say, like Jesse said, I want to know more about Jesus. Lord, so that we may be renewed and may grow deeper and deeper in these inclinations which you have already planted within us. Father, that we can experience it to greater and greater degrees. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I just want to encourage you that as we seek to grow in the mercy and showing the mercy of God to others, you know, it's not about doing it the right way. It's about learning the right heart and then living that out and making mistakes along the way. But that's what we have mentors for, so, and disciplers. So, don't try to do it alone, especially in those complex areas, all right? Because, we're here to do it together, all right? Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.